Captain's log, stardate 44932.3. The Enterprise is preparing to enter the Mare Oscura, an unexplored dark matter nebula. Commander Data is modifying several of our photon torpedoes for an experiment designed to elicit more information about this unusual phenomenon.
Data kneels on the floor of the torpedo bay beside a flattened, oval-shaped torpedo working on the modifications. He looks up as an ensign joins him.
The initial dispersal pattern should not be more than 7 kilometers in diameter. Jenna?
6.8 kilometers.
That should suffice. Is there something occupying your thoughts, Jenna? You seem somewhat subdued today.
I bumped into Jeff again in the turbo lift this morning. He asked me out to dinner.
What was your response?
I told him I'd think about it.
As you requested, I will now remind you of the reasons you decided to end your relationship with Jeff.
I guess I asked for this. Go ahead.
You objected to the fact that he seemed unwilling to set aside sufficient time for you. You said he was unresponsive, that he never did the little things. You disliked the sound he made when he ate his soup.
Okay, I remember.
She quickly replaces the panel on her side of the torpedo and stands up. Data does the same and joins her at a diagnostics console.
This is the third time I have refreshed your memory. Do you wish to rescind our agreement?
No, it's for my own good. It's just so easy to forget. Hand me the sequencer.
Throughout history, many lovers have suffered the same difficulty. Anne Boleyn was quite distressed that Henry VIII preferred the company of his huntsman over that of his wife.
Since when did you develop an interest in romantic historical figures?
6 weeks ago, when you and Jeff dissolved your relationship, I saw an excellent opportunity to study that aspect of human intimacy. As your friend, it is my responsibility to be supportive in times of need.
That's very sweet, Data.
Data to bridge. We are ready to begin the first illumination test.
Acknowledged. All science stations stand by. We're about to light up the nebula. Mr. Worf?
Launch Bay 1 shows ready, Commander.
Fire torpedo.
The torpedo explodes in the center of the gaseous nebula, filling the cloud with light.
It's beautiful. Like watching fireworks when I was a little girl.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled In Theory, voiced by Marston York. The Federation starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat planes of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy as a comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. A classical music concert is held in the bar in 10 Forward. Jenna plays the flute, Data the oboe, Keiko O'Brien plays the clarinet, and two other crewmen play the bassoon and French horn. They sit in a semicircle at one end of the bar, and the tables and chairs are arranged in front of them. Miles O'Brien sits in the front row of the packed room, watching with delight.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Really?
Oh, really wonderful.
Jenna watches Miles and Keiko and sighs heavily, slowly sitting back down.
Something wrong?
My tempo was way off. I felt like I was rushing through the whole piece.
I do not believe that is so. Your rhythmic control has improved markedly. I heard no fluctuations during the performance.
Well, maybe, but I ruined the coda. I got confused with the phrasing again. I kept breathing at the wrong times.
The contrapuntal nature of the composition is most demanding. We will give more attention to the rhythmic patterns during our next rehearsal. However, I am quite certain the audience was oblivious to such nuances. They seem to enjoy the performance thoroughly.
Thank you, Data. You're very generous.
Every night, Miles leaves his socks on the floor. When we got married, I made the mistake of picking them up a few times. Then I realized if I kept it up, I'd be doing it for the rest of my life. So I stopped, figuring he'd get the point and do it himself. One night goes by, two, a week, 10 days. By now, there's a pile of socks half a meter high.
Oh, come on, it wasn't half a meter.
After 2 weeks, I couldn't stand it anymore. I bundled them up and put them in the cleaning processor. And I'm still doing it.
And a very good job she does of it, too.
Keiko, you sound just like Data. He came over to my quarters the other day to give me a music lesson, and he said the funniest thing. How did you put it? About the mess?
I believe I observed that you seemed to have an aversion to orderliness. But it was not intended as a humorous remark.
So, before we started, he gallantly offered to help me straighten up.
And a very good job I did of it, too.
Jenna links her arm in Data's and leans against his shoulder. Data returns to his bridge console.
Report, Mr. Data.
I have nearly finished compiling readings of our most recent illuminatory burst. Dark matter density is nearly one order of magnitude higher than in similar nebulae. Life forms here may have developed in ways never before observed.
Interesting hypothesis. Are there any M-class planets we could check out?
Several, sir. The nearest is approximately 3 light hours from our present position.
It's worth a look. We'll continue our survey along the way.
The Enterprise steers in towards the perimeter of the nebula. In sickbay, Dr. Crusher and a nurse watch a console with growing excitement.
Let's increase the flow rate and see if that helps.
Nods, and Dr. Crusher taps the sensor keys, studying the results on her tricorder. She crosses sickbay towards her office. Passing a counter, she stops in surprise as an instrument falls to the floor behind her. She slowly picks it up, looking at it quizzically before replacing it on the countertop and continuing.
Sometimes in the summer we'd go on cookouts, just my little brother and me and my mother. She was hopeless without a replicator. We didn't care.
Children often do not develop discerning palates until well beyond adolescence.
It wasn't that. It's just that we felt so good being together, you know, as a family. We didn't have much of that after my father died. So those times were really special. I wish we were back there now, you and I.
The unidirectional nature of the time continuum makes that an unlikely possibility.
That's what I love about you, Data. You make me laugh. I don't know why I keep falling for the wrong man. Why can't I fall for somebody like you? You're perfect.
That is not true. I have no human feelings.
But you give me so much. You spend time with me when I'm lonely. You encourage me when I'm down. No man has ever been kinder to me. Those are the things that matter. I better be going. With your permission, Commander.
Permission granted.
He returns to his work and Jenna stands watching him for a moment before leaning towards him and gently kissing his cheek. He looks up at her in surprise.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but you're very handsome.
He looks at her for a moment and raises his eyebrows before looking down at the torpedo. She gently raises his chin and looks into his eyes before leaning towards him and kissing him. Their lips meet and his eyes widen in surprise. She steps away, watching him, suddenly coy.
I'll see you tomorrow.
With a last flirtatious look, she leaves and Data looks down at his work. Slowly, he looks back up at the closing doors in confusion. In 10 forward, Guinan mixes a jug of yellow liquid with one of blue in a glass as Data enters.
Hello, Data. Would you like to try something new? It's a concoction I heard about on Proctel 2. I think it's wonderful, but I need a second opinion.
...87% Saurian brandy. Targ milk and Denisian meat comprise the rest. There is an unusually high concentration of fructose compound in monosaccharides.
Too sweet? Data, if I didn't know you better, I would say you were a little... preoccupied.
Lieutenant, this would be considered a very passionate kiss in the torpedo bay.
Really?
He nods and a broad smile spreads over Guinan's face. Slowly she walks round the counter to stand next to him.
And?
I was intrigued. Jenna seemed to be displaying genuine affection for me.
Well, what do you think of her, Data?
I find her to be a competent officer, highly motivated, though somewhat lacking in her understanding of the theory underlying the dilithium matrix application.
I meant personally.
I look forward to the time we spend together.
Seems the next move is yours. What are you gonna do?
I do not know. I have no experience in such matters. I require advice.
Don't look at me. No, Data. I simply... mean that I can't give you any advice here. It's not good to advise people about their first love affairs. That's kind of something people have to figure out for themselves.
But I am not capable of love.
Then it's going to be a very unique experience.
Data walks slowly along a corridor, his face set in thought as Geordi joins him carrying a cat.
Data. Missing someone? I found Spot wandering through the corridor, two sections away.
Thank you.
Forget to secure the door when you left?
The door sensor is programmed to recognize only humanoid forms for entrance and egress. Spot could not have triggered the mechanism.
Maybe somebody came in while you were away. Let him out by accident. Has anything been disturbed?
It does not appear so. Computer. 12 hours other than Commander LaForge or myself.
That's pretty strange. You know, to be on the safe side, maybe I should report a possible unauthorized entry to security.
Geordi.
Hmm?
May I ask your advice? In a personal matter.
Sure, Data.
Should I pursue a relationship with Lieutenant DeSora?
I thought she and Jeff... Arden were...
They have discontinued their association. She has made the first move in initiating a relationship with me. What should I do?
Boy, if she's just coming out of a bad situation. You know, sometimes it takes people a while, Data. But then if they just jump right into another relationship, you see, that can be trouble. Unless, of course, she's really ready. And then, well, I guess it depends on whether or not you're really serious. This can be a little complicated. Listen, my advice is ask somebody else for advice, at least someone who's got more experience at giving advice.
Geordi leaves and Data nods, suddenly certain.
I think you should be careful. This isn't just some experiment you're running, Data. Jenna is a living, breathing person with needs and feelings that have to be considered.
Then you do not believe I should pursue this any further?
I didn't say that. I just want you to be aware that this is unlike any other more casual relationship that you've attempted.
I have studied much human literature on the subject of love and romantic liaisons. There are many role models for me to emulate.
Ultimately, Jenna will care for you for who you are, not what you imitate out of a book.
My programming may be inadequate to the task.
We're all more than the sum of our parts, Data. You'll have to be more than the sum of your programming.
Klingons do not pursue relationships. They conquer that which they desire. However, Lieutenant D'Zora serves under my command. If she were mistreated, I would be very displeased, sir.
Data nods and turns away. Slowly, he looks back.
I understand.
I think you should pursue it. First of all, she's a beautiful woman. She seems to be crazy about you.
Jenna has clearly demonstrated how she feels about me, but I am not capable of returning those feelings.
Data, when you get involved with another person, there are always risks of disappointment, of getting hurt.
I cannot be hurt, but she can.
Jenna knows that, and she has obviously decided to take the chance. Data, when it really works between two people, it's not like anything you've ever experienced. The rewards are far greater than simple friendship.
How far, sir?
That's what I'm hoping you're going to find out.
Riker grins happily and Data exits onto the bridge. He immediately approaches Picard and the captain turns away.
Captain? I am seeking advice in how to...
Yes, I've heard, Data. And I would be delighted to offer any advice I can on understanding women. When I have some, I'll let you know.
Data stands in a turbo lift with a bouquet of flowers.
Second Officer's personal log, stardate 44935.6. After conferring with my colleagues regarding the nature of romantic love in general, and my own situation in particular, I have reached a decision.
They?
A variety of Crystallia. Their fragrance is an evolutionary response to the acrid nature of the atmosphere on Telemarius IV.
You silver-tongued devil. Why don't I find a place to put these? Which won't be that easy. Ah.
It seems your quarters have reverted to their earlier state of disorder.
I know, I'm hopeless. There. They're beautiful, Data. It's really sweet of you.
Commander Riker suggested this particular flower. He said it had worked for him in the past.
He holds out his arms to her.
You didn't talk to the entire ship about us.
No. In actuality, less than 1% of the Enterprise crew was involved.
Huh.
It was necessary to balance theory with experiential reference. Both are required for a program of this nature. Computer, decrease illumination level by 1/3 standard lux.
The lights dim and Data holds his arm out to her.
This is all part of a program?
Yes, one which I have just created for romantic relationships.
So I'm just a small variable in one of your new computational environments.
You are much more than that, Jenna. I have written a subroutine specifically for you. A program within the program. I have devoted a considerable share of my internal resources to its development.
Data, that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
Somewhat woodenly, Data puts his other arm around her shoulder and pulls her into a kiss. She tilts her head slightly and allows herself to be drawn towards him. The Enterprise drifts through the nebula.
Estimated time of arrival, Mr. Data.
We will reach the Class M planet in approximately 11 hours, sir.
You have the bridge, number one.
Picard stands up and crosses the bridge to his ready room. He strides to his desk and stares at it in surprise. The usual data pad, console, and instruments have been removed. Looking under the table, he kneels down in confusion, looking at the console and clutter on the floor.
Picard to Lieutenant Worf.
Yes, Captain.
Would you step into my ready room, please, and bring a tricorder with you?
Aye, Captain. Captain?
What do you make of this?
I am puzzled, sir.
So am I, Mr. Worf.
The only detectable bioelectric residuals are your own. You did not...
No, I did not. Well,
Perhaps we have a poltergeist.
Sir?
A mischievous spirit.
Sir?
Perhaps not.
I cannot explain how an intruder entered this room, but I recommend we go to red alert.
Not yet.
Then I will order one of my officers to stand watch. Worf to Ensign.
That's all right, Mr. Worf. I think for now circumstances warrant caution, nothing more.
As you wish, Captain.
As Worf leaves, the captain slowly bends down and picks up a cup and saucer. Data paints at an easel in his quarters.
Enter.
I know, it's a little unexpected.
You are correct. I did not anticipate your arrival until 1900 hours.
Well, I couldn't wait. I wanted you to have this.
She hands him a sculpture.
You have often expressed dissatisfaction with the Spartan nature of my quarters. Is this an attempt at embellishment?
The cat's out of the bag.
Spot?
No, I mean, you've caught me in the act. I'm just trying to brighten things up around here. It's Tyrinian. What do you think?
Its line is both fluid and formal, yet retains an unpremeditated quality. The tactility of its surface embellishment is evocative of the neo-primitive period in Tyrinian blade carving.
I hadn't thought of it in that way. I'm sorry, don't let me interrupt.
As you wish.
He puts down the sculpture and immediately starts painting again. Jenna turns away in surprise, but stops by the door.
Data?
Yes?
The Book of Love, Chapter 4, Paragraph 17. When your girlfriend arrives with a gift, stop whatever it is you're doing and give her your undivided attention.
I should not have resumed my painting.
No.
Despite your suggestion that I continue.
Exactly.
I have much to learn.
Why don't we start with this? A critical analysis isn't necessarily the best response to a gift.
Perhaps if I looked for a suitable place to display it.
Much better.
He nods and looks around his quarters, finally setting it down in an alcove and judging the light.
The ambient light in this location accentuates its contours. However, a gift should not necessarily be placed according to aesthetic criteria. A more central location would give added meaning.
Data, what's important is that you're trying. You don't know how much that means to me. Why don't you go back to your painting? Oh, I really mean it this time. I'll see you tonight.
She blows him a kiss, and somewhat stiltedly, he returns it. Jenna, waving and smiling, exits and walks happily away. Suddenly, the wall behind her changes. The bulkhead covering disappears, revealing the wall's structure before returning to normal. Picard sits in his ready room, studying a data console.
Riker to Captain Picard. I think you'd better come out here, sir.
Acknowledged.
He switches off his console and stands up, tugging his tunic straight. Slowly, he walks out of the ready room and joins Riker at the command chairs, watching the viewing screen.
We've reached the designated coordinates, but the M-class planet, it's gone.
Only the gas of the nebula shows on the screen.
You sure there was no malfunction in the sensors?
The lateral EM scanners register radiation levels indicative of a Class M planet. Sir.
They look back up at the screen in amazement. A pale gray planet suddenly appears in front of them.
Mr. Data, run a full systems diagnostic.
Warning. Atmospheric decompression in bridge observation lounge. Environmental compensation sequence has been initiated.
I am not registering a hull breach.
Scan for life forms.
None, sir.
Captain, standard air pressure has been reestablished in the observation lounge.
Let's have a look. Mr. Data?
Worf steps in first, his face drawn. He looks around and turns back to the doorway, nodding.
Captain.
They stare at the furniture piled in the middle of the room.
I do not understand.
Picking anything up, Data?
I detect no unusual readings along standard parameters.
Curious.
The transparent aluminum alloy of this window is exhibiting a pattern of transient electrical currents.
Explanation?
I have none. The rate is characteristic of a subspace distortion, but I am picking up no evidence of a subspace field.
We'll hold position while we seek an explanation of these anomalies. Let's divert all our resources to that end.
Data enters Jenna's quarters.
Honey? I'm home!
It's over and walks happily towards him.
Hi.
Hi.
Any luck with your diagnostic?
Negative. We found no malfunctions.
We did a full security sweep. Nothing.
She flops onto the sofa and pulls off her boots.
May I get you a drink, dear?
Well, yes. I'll have a Calamon Sherry.
Excellent choice. I'll join you.
She looks at him oddly, surprised by his behavior.
Computer. 2 Calamon Sherrys.
2 tall-stemmed glasses appear and he picks them up.
Would you care for some dinner as well?
Oh, I'm too tired to think about what I want. Maybe later.
Whatever you wish, dear. Darling, you remain as aesthetically pleasing as the first day we met. I believe I am the most fortunate sentient in this sector of the galaxy. You relax. Feet up, and I will take care of everything.
He suddenly kisses his finger, placing it gently on her lips.
Damanina, selala shiriskaldar. Chirkar, Kejob. I could organize your closet. First by function, then by color, from light to dark, and one.
Data. That's all right. You don't have to do that.
But I am happy to do it.
Please, just put them down.
What do you wish me to do, dear? Am I not paying enough attention to you?
Oh, no, that's not it.
Perhaps I am not giving you enough compliments. Your hair is looking particularly silky tonight.
Data, there's just something strange about the way you're acting.
Am I not behaving as a solicitous mate?
Well, yes, but...
Tending to your every need?
What's wrong with you tonight?
My most recent self-diagnostic revealed no malfunctions. Perhaps there is something wrong with you!
I've never seen you behave so foolishly! Why are you doing this?
You don't tell me how to behave. You're not my mother!
What?
You are not my mother. That is the appropriate response for your statement that I am behaving foolishly.
Data, I think you should just leave.
You do not wish to continue our lover's quarrel?
Is that what this is?
In my study of interpersonal dynamics, I have found that conflict, followed by emotional release, often strengthens the connection between two people.
But There's something so forced and artificial about the way you're doing it, Data. It's just not the real you.
With regard to romantic relationships, there is no real me. I am drawing upon various cultural and literary sources to help define my role.
Kiss me. What were you just thinking?
In that particular moment, I was reconfiguring the warp field parameters, analyzing the collected works of Charles Dickens, calculating the maximum pressure I could safely apply to your lips, considering a new food supplement for Spot.
I'm glad I was in there somewhere.
She looks up at him, her eyes filled with sadness. Data sits at a console at the rear of the bridge, joined by Picard, Riker, and Worf.
A complete sensor scan of the planet and 3 survey probes came up with no surprises. No signs of life, nothing out of the ordinary.
7 more unusual incidents have been reported. No casualties or damage.
We can only state that a subspace effect seems to exist within this nebula. After I have made further analysis, I may be able to adjust the ship's sensors to locate and identify the anomaly.
The ship's at risk as long as we're sitting here. We could continue the investigation outside the nebula.
Agreed.
Ensign McKnight, plot the most direct course ahead, Warp 1.
Aye, sir.
Engage.
Captain.
Data's console suddenly shimmers with electrical energy as the circuitry is revealed and resealed.
Captain, explosive decompression on deck 37.
Bridge to LaForge, damage report.
We're showing damage between decks. We haven't localized it yet. Thorne, you all right?
Yes, sir.
LaForge to bridge. A cryogenic control conduit just blew out on us.
I almost lost a man.
Ensign, full stop.
Aye, sir.
LaForge to bridge.
Go ahead, Commander.
I think we have some structural damage between decks 36 and 37. I'd better go check it out.
Van Mater, you take access tube 23M and look at those bridge connectors. Thorne, I'll cover the aft section. You go down.
Geordi and Thorne turn immediately and rush back to the junction in the corridor. They stop in horror. Van Meter has been swallowed by the floor. Only her torso and arms appear above it. She is frozen and lifeless. From the waist down, she has disappeared. Her left hand sticks up from the floor and her head is tilted slightly, her dead eyes staring ahead.
Captain's log supplemental. This series of unexplained events has now resulted in the death of a crewman. But it appears that Mr. Data may have an explanation.
During the last occurrence, I was able to confirm one of my hypotheses. The unusual preponderance of dark matter in this nebula is causing small gaps in the fabric of normal space. As the Enterprise moves through this nebula, it is colliding with these deformations.
So every time we hit one, part of the ship momentarily phases out of normal space.
Or when one of them hits us. My reading suggests that the deformations themselves are in motion.
Good thing one of those pockets didn't pass through the photon torpedo casings or one of the matter-antimatter containment pods.
The question is, how do we get out?
Mr. Data, could you reconfigure the sensors so as to detect these anomalies?
Yes, sir. But only at extremely close range. Even at minimal speed, it would be almost impossible to maneuver the Enterprise quickly enough to avoid them.
A shuttlecraft is more maneuverable.
He's right. If we could position the shuttlecraft far enough in front of the Enterprise, it could detect the pockets and allow us enough time to maneuver out of the way.
We could give the shuttle control of our navigational systems. That way, the corresponding maneuvers would be virtually instantaneous.
I'll do my pre-flight once I'm on board.
Not this time, Will. I want you on the bridge.
Sir?
I'm going to pilot the shuttle.
Captain, it is my duty as First Officer to safeguard the lives on this ship, including yours. The Enterprise can't afford to lose you, certainly not in this situation.
I believe our best chance of escaping this situation is for me to pilot the shuttle. It's my ship, Will. I've got to do this.
Sir.
The Enterprise looms over the captain's shuttle as he carries out last-minute checks.
Shuttle free to Enterprise. Telemetry link enabled.
Ship's computer is accepting navigational inputs from the shuttle.
Forward sensors are online. Ensign McKnight, plot a course for the shortest distance out of the nebula.
Plot laid in, sir. Outer perimeter at 32 million kilometers.
Point one impulse, number one.
Acknowledge, Captain. We're right behind you. Riker to O'Brien. Lock onto the captain's communicator. I want to be able to pull him out of there in case we have to.
Aye, sir.
Picard studies the modified sensor screen on the shuttle. A sphere of lines suddenly appears.
Changing course. New heading 299. Mark 029.
Main coupling is matching navigational inputs, Captain.
New heading confirmed.
I missed it by less than 1,000 meters, Enterprise. Advise your status.
Sensors indicate deformation passing 500 meters off the starboard bow.
One down, Captain.
Resuming previous course.
Confirmed. Outer perimeter now at 30.1 million kilometers.
Changing course, heading 073, mark 288. New heading, 284, mark 013.
Pockets of dark matter slide over the engine nacelles.
Enterprise, I'm losing maneuverability.
Sensors indicate damage to the shuttle's starboard impulse nacelle, Captain.
I'm rerouting the secondary deuterium supply. Switching to manual control.
Transceiver signal is down 42%. Navigational inputs are not registering.
We've lost our link, Captain.
You'll have to make course changes manually until we re-establish the
connection. Understood. Mr. Data, get us back online. Geordi, try boosting the power to the LU bands. McKnight, increase the distance between the Enterprise and the shuttle. We're going to need some more room to make manual adjustments.
New heading 299, mark 18.
Yes, sir. I've got it. Course corrected.
Enterprise, hard starboard.
Aye, sir.
Deformation impact on deck 15, science section.
Damage.
Reports coming in. Minimal damage.
Mr. Forge, I'm still having difficulty controlling the shuttlecraft.
I see. Your Krellite storage cells are losing their charge. Maintaining manual control is going to become increasingly difficult.
Estimated distance to the nebula's perimeter.
4.7 million kilometers, sir.
Is there a way to transfer the microfusion thruster so I can get a power boost?
Possibly. If you augment the thruster sequencing, so the inertial dampening
relative fields... Relative bearing, 27. Make that 285, mark 255.
Commander, the shuttle is out of control.
Mr. O'Brien, do you have the captain's signal?
I'm having trouble locking on, sir.
Sir, the shuttle's inertial dampeners have failed. It is breaking up.
Let's get him out of there.
Now will be a good time, Mr. O'Brien.
The shuttle spins wildly on the viewing screen and suddenly explodes.
Did we get him back?
Aye, sir. We got him.
I'm a little dizzy, number one, but none the worse. I'm on my way.
Acknowledged, sir.
Commander, we are nearing the perimeter, 1 million kilometers away.
All right. Let's make a run for it.
Aye, sir.
The Enterprise banks to the left, sweeping towards the perimeter of the nebula and accelerating. Suddenly, they burst through the gaseous nebula cloud and into safe space. The captain steps onto the bridge.
We're clear of the nebula, sir.
Ensign, plot a course for Starbase 260, warp 2.
Aye, sir.
Engage.
Riker and Picard look at each other with relief and satisfaction as the Enterprise maneuvers onto its new course. In his quarters, Data has laid the table for dinner. He lights a candle and turns to the door.
Enter.
Hi.
Hi.
The place looks great.
Thank you. It is much less Spartan, is it not?
Much less. It looks great. It really does. It looks great.
Jenna. You are repeating yourself. I have often found this to be indicative of a mental distraction. Is that a correct assumption in this instance?
I'm afraid it is.
And perhaps we should begin our meal. Among humans, a low serum glucose level is often responsible.
I think we should talk. Could you sit down? I'm not sure how to begin.
What is the subject?
You and I, our relationship.
Yes.
Data, sometimes people blindly make the same mistake again and again.
Are you currently experiencing this phenomenon?
I didn't see it until today. I got out of a relationship with an unemotional man. And I got right back into another one. With a man who's absolutely incapable of emotion.
Hmm. There does appear to be a recurring motif.
You were so kind and attentive. I thought that would be enough.
Is it not?
No, it's not. Because as close as we are, I don't really matter to you. Not really. Nothing I can say or do will ever make you happy or sad. Or touch you in any way.
That is a valid projection. It is apparent that my reach has exceeded my grasp in this particular area. I am, perhaps, not nearly so human as I aspire to become. If you are ready to eat, I will bring our meal.
No, that's all right, Data. I'm gonna go now.
As you wish. Jenna, are we no longer a couple?
No, we're not.
Then I will delete the appropriate program.
He stares blankly up at her as she stands watching him sadly from the doorway.
I'll see you later.
He watches the door slide closed behind her, unmoving.
Hello, Spot.
He gently strokes the cat's head and blows out the candle. Sitting back in the darkness, he stares at the door. The end.